I really appreciate everyone that's preached, and it's been a real joyous occasion and experience for me. Brother, and I needed this. I'm sure this is true with every preacher that's here. I really appreciated what Brother Mitchell Smith said, one thing about touch not God's anointed. I believe there's many Baptist churches standing still today because of that very thing. I believe they are. I preached this to my church Sunday night. If you want to destroy your church, touch God's anointing. If you want to destroy it, and you'll destroy it real quick. But that's not what I'm preaching on. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 21. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. I've been thinking about several things to preach and made sure I had enough material. But Lord gave me a thought and I couldn't get away from it. And when I came to the conference, it seemed like this is the theme. And was you ever for sure and really not for sure? And then you're for sure and really not for sure. You know what it is? If you'll notice these verses, chapter 21 of Luke. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in under the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all. I was thankful for the statement that was made last night. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. I believe this is a biblical principle that runs through the Word of God. I believe it even has been shed abroad in our hearts. That's why the love of Christ constrains us. In the portion of Scripture that I have here, Jesus saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Some rich gave little. Some rich gave much. But Jesus also saw a certain poor widow. She cast in two mites, the value of a farthing, two-fifths of our cent. She had no husband to provide for her. She had no substance left her by her husband to support her with. And the Jews didn't obligate the poor to give, did not obligate them. It's interesting what the Lord said about this. The Lord said she gave more. Not in quantity, but in a proportion to her ability. She cast in more in proportion to what she had than they had in proportion to their substance. I believe what she gave in faith. That's right. You think about it. And I believe she gave from a heart of love. I also believe that she gave for the glory of God. The Lord said this. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living she had. The word penury equals the word want. But she of her want hath cast in all the living she had. In other words, what he's saying is, she cast in all she had. Her whole substance she gave. All that she had in the world she gave. Brethren, I believe that's the biblical principle. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
Amen.
And I believe the motive for everything that we've heard here, whether it is separation, or whether it is concerning our church, or whether it's concerning the Lord's anointed, the man of God, I believe the mainspring or the motive is because the love of Christ constrains us. Think of her condition. What she gave was what she had to buy her food for that day. She left herself nothing, but gave away all and trusted the providence of God to supply her need. And brethren, I believe there's a tremendous lesson in this. When Paul wrote to the churches at Corinth, or the church at Corinth, he said in the second letter, and I thought about this, which had I rather have in the church that I pastor? 5 rich men that won't give anything, or 1 poor widow that'll give all she has? Isn't hard to answer, is it? And I believe, brethren, when he talked to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2 and 3, he was talking about the churches of Macedonia. And listen what he said. Somebody sometimes said, if we could just get this rich fella in our church. Yeah, if you get him, more power to you. You'll soon wish you didn't have him. He'd be running the show. I mean, he'll be calling all the punches. He'll be telling you what you can do and what you can't do. Exactly. Now, that may not be true in every sense, because I believe that no doubt possibly there's some rich men that are saved by the grace of God, and love the Lord and honor the Lord with their substance. I believe that. But when he said of the churches of Macedonia, he said in verse 2, if you'll notice, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Brethren, I've found this to be true. I'd rather have a church full of people saved by God's grace that are just honest, hard working people than all the rich men that you could find and put in any church that just want the glory for themselves and want glory to be consumed upon them and their lives not to be for the glory of God. I'd rather have this any time.
Amen.
Yes, the rich men gave here in Luke 21. That's what he said. Now, I'm going to preach on the greatest gift of all. For he said that, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Yes, the rich men gave, but God's estimate of benevolence takes in not only what is given, but what is reserved. It's not only what's given, but it's what's left. That's God's estimate. And I think of it many times, and my, shouldn't that be our standard, or shouldn't we look at it that way?
They did cast in of their abundance or of their superabundance. Many times you heard people in churches saying, well, when I wasn't making too much, I gave so much, and now since God's blessed me and I'm making this much, now I just can't give as much. It's too much. Many times have you heard people say that? They did cast in of their abundance or their superabundance. Their gift was in hypocrisy. It was to make an outward show, and it was to be seen of men. That was their purpose. Amen. Now, brethren, I'm thankful today, and I believe that when you love someone, I believe you give. I believe when a church loves their pastor, they give.
Amen.
Stayed in Brother Rogers' home, and this don't happen to me, but I'm thankful it happens to other preachers. And his church members came in yesterday and gave him a thing that answered his telephone for him. You know, and take the messages and things down on tape. Now, you know what that told me? That told me that he does have somebody that loves him. And the reason they're doing that is because they do love him. Brother, I believe that. Many gifts, though, are given, and we know that, you know, back long ago, it wasn't, not too long ago, it was the holiday season. And a lot of gifts were given. Some were given for the wrong motives, and some was given for the right motives. Now, I believe that. You let anybody offer to give me anything, I won't turn it back or refuse it because it's a holiday.
Amen.
I won't do it. Now, I know about pagan holidays. Amen. I know all about that. But if somebody loves me enough and wants to give me something, I'll take it.
Amen.
Especially the church that I pastor.
Amen.
Some give for the wrong motives and some give for the right motives. Some give because of debt.
Yeah.
They want to make a person a debtor to them. Some by exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank God, some because of love.
Amen.
Because they have a love in their heart.
Amen.
Brethren, all these gifts are good. And I've thought about it many times. And I can tell immediately when these preachers get up here that have grandchildren. They're going to tell you about them. I am too. But you know, it does my heart good. A few years ago, sometimes people think, you know, you can be extravagant, and I reckon you can. But, you know, my grandson wasn't too old, and I went through Sears, and I saw they had a 20-inch bicycle on sale. And his mom and dad make more money than I do, and they could buy him a bicycle. But that wasn't what it was all about.
Amen.
Brother, and I believe love gives. You know, I bought him a bicycle. He wasn't big enough to ride it, but he's riding it now. And I'm talking about this. This is as far as the material things. And you know how it is with your grandchildren. And you think about them right now, and your thoughts go off on them. And like one brother said, they melt your heart.
Amen.
You love them. They can't do anything or give me anything as change except call me Papa.
Yeah.
Get up in my lap and hug my neck and kiss my jaw.
Yeah.
Say we love you.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Love gives. It's exactly what it is. But brethren, all these gifts are good, but they're only temporal. And they'll vanish away, all of these things that I'm talking about. Acts 20:35 says this. I've showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how it is more blessed to give than to receive. Every now and then, if somebody in our church likes to help members of our church that's, you know, got a problem or something, but sometime every now and then I like to help them. I'm not obligated to, but I love them. I love them, and brother, I'll give to them. I'll give them the last thing I've got or the last shit I've got if I know they really need it.
Amen, brother.
Brother, and I believe that's the way it ought to be. It's more blessed to give than to receive. If that's true for us, don't you think God knew the same thing?
Amen.
You think about it.
Amen.
All right, this just dawned on me. I think about this. You know, we think, boy, this is good for us. It's good that we know it's more blessed to give than receive. But what about God? He knows it, and He knows it's more blessed to give than receive.
Amen.
That's what I want to talk about. The greatest gift of all. First of all, God gave a people to Christ. In eternity, an everlasting covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It was even a decree that went forth before the fall.
Amen.
Call me whatever you want to. But that's what it is.
That's right.
And the proclamation of this is that God gave a people to Christ.
Yeah.
And as we've heard today, these people are defined. Boy, when you read Matthew chapter 1, and they read that about the virgin birth, and I'm thankful for that, and I read that, and I rejoice, but I read all them verses. I read, Brother Duval, help me out today, I read verse 21, too. It goes like this. And I'm talking about the greatest gift of all that God gave a people to Christ. Listen to what he said. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, they already belong to him. What it means. God gave them to the Son. That's what it means. The greatest gift of all, God gave a people to His Son. When Christ was born, many of His people had not been born. Even today, many of them haven't even been born. What I like, and several of the preachers just pep me up when they come along and mention these things. Somebody, Brother Mitchell Smith and I were talking and said, you know, about afraid somebody get her subject. I said, nobody can get my subject. And they're not.
Yeah.
I believe that's as much as God's ordained that, as much as He has anything else.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
I'm not worried about that. Yeah. It wouldn't worry me. Brethren, when you preach verses or mention verses, I shout hallelujah and amen that I'm going to get to use them too.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I believe these people that He gave, the Father gave to the Son, that gift of the Father and the Son, the Word of God defines or talks about them and calls them sheep.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'll say more about that after a while. Some of these sheep are Jews. When he talked to his disciples, he said in Matthew 10:6, he said, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Brethren, he commissioned those disciples as a church to first of all to go to those Jews. And he empowered them to go to those Jews. But later on, he also empowered that same church to go to the Gentiles and to go into all the world. So some of the sheep are Jews, but some of the sheep are Gentiles. Or he said in John 10:16. I remember how I used to try to explain this away. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. An interesting verse to me. Not that all the rest of the Bible isn't interesting, but an interesting verse to me is 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul.
Amen.
Brethren, this gift of the Father, the Son, is explained, I believe, in the 17th chapter of the book of John, that God gave a people to his son. And there's not been a greater gift than that gift. Listen to this. I believe they were chosen or selected in Christ before the foundation of the world. For listen to the apostle John, as Jesus said here in John 17:6. Now notice, thine they were. In other words, thine they were. In other words, they were yours. They belonged to you. But he said, and thou gavest them me. But then in the ninth verse of that 17th chapter of John, he said, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They belong to you. Brother, God can do with what he wants to do. And he does. It's not that he can. He does too with what he wants to do. John 17:11 says this, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Listen to John 17:12. Jesus said, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none is lost. But then we think of other verses of Scripture in the Word of God, of that God gave a people the Son. Think of this one. John 6:37. All that the Father gave Christ will come to Christ. Amen. And all others will not come. Amen. It's just that plain. Amen. Jesus explained this truth himself. And you know, people get so alarmed about this, and several of the preachers have commented on this, and they talk about how people are afraid of this doctrine and how they get all. Somebody said that a chill went over. But brethren, I believe that one of the great things that we see here in the Word of God is that the very positive teaching that Jesus even explained, that every man without exception will not be saved. But brethren, those that God gave to the Son, they will be saved. I appreciated Brother Smith putting a plug in on my sermon too. For he said in John 6:37, Jesus explained, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. He went on and said this in the same sixth chapter, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Amen. Brethren, I believe in this truth. All others will not come. I agree with Brother Smith. We don't know who they are.
Amen.
We don't know who they are. But brethren, we preach the gospel to every creature. But we do know that there will be those who will come. Isn't that assurance, and isn't that a blessing to our heart? Doesn't that motivate us? Doesn't that cause us to be missionary? Doesn't that cause us to witness? Doesn't that cause us to preach the gospel?
Amen, brother.
Said you'll be a hard sell. Don't kid yourself. You don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. Amen.
All others will not come. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said this, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes, I agree with these preachers. I believe the problem in our churches today is people are just not sheep. They've never been saved by the grace of God. They have come through easy believism or through some gimmick or some gadget rather than repenting of their sins and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Yes, God gave a people to Christ. But now that's not all. But God gave Christ for a people. And I thought about, brethren, the theme in this conference has been the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost every song has been about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary and shedding his blood. And I believe that what we need in our churches today is get back to preaching Christ.
Amen.
About the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So not only did God give a people to his son, but God gave Christ for a people. John 3:16. We love that verse.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'll tell you what, he gave all.
Amen.
He who was rich for our sakes became poor. Came from the portals of heaven. God gave all.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm like Paul. You know, you have to sort of visualize a fellow. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit working with him and dealing with him, you know, like he has in this conference. And I think, and sometimes we'll read this like this, we'll say, thanks be unto God for such a big gift. But I believe that the Apostle Paul, moved by the Spirit of God, said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what. There's one preacher, he believes there's dead-headed Baptists.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
He mentioned it several times in his sermon. I believe there are too.
Amen, brother.
Believe there are. In eternity, the great, wonderful, almighty God communed with the Son and the Holy Spirit. He decreed to select the people in Christ. And he determined to be a sacrifice for his people. That's what he determined in eternity. And in reality, then, God gave Christ for his people is exactly what he did.
Amen,
I believe this truth is first revealed to us right in the very beginning of the Old Testament, the book of beginnings. Abraham. He's already been mentioned. And I like what they said about Abraham. You know the story very well of how that God appeared unto Abraham and how that he told him to go off to Mount Moriah there to offer up his son Isaac. And I every time I read through that, the Lord blesses my heart. You know, you can't get all of it at one time. And I'll still be reading that, Genesis 22, probably when the Lord comes, and still receiving blessings from that. And the story goes of how that Abraham went with Isaac, and there was the knife, and he had the fire, and he had the wood. And you'll notice that this verse here, in verse 5 of Genesis 22. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. And I notice this. And I know you know this, and you've read this many times. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And what's the rest of you say? And come again to you. Thank you, Brother Hancock. And come again to you. That's it. He believed it. He knew it of a certain day. I mean, he knew it. He knew the God I'm talking about. He knew that God gave Christ his son for the people. And he knew that God gave a people to his son. He knew that. He knew it. And he went on. And Isaac, you know, as a young man, began to question, look around. And strange thing to him, he'd been on those sacrifice journeys before. I believe he knew that there was something missing. And he asked his father Abraham, he said, well, here's this and here's that, but said, where's the sacrifice? And then Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself. Put a period right there. I know it's not a period there. I know that's bad English. But I'm going to put a period right there. He said, God will provide himself. And that's what he did.
Amen. Exactly.
God gave Christ for a people. He gave his son for a people. And he was the God-man. We've heard about that. He was a God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
What he was.
Amen.
Right. So God gave himself. He gave his son. This truth is revealed. You know, I thought about, I'm sort of like Nicodemus, and many people are like Nicodemus when he met the Lord and began to talk about, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said, with the big question mark, said, how can these things be? How can it be that God provide himself a sacrifice? Well, I thought about what Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And I thought about what he said in the 17th chapter, John, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but thine are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, as we are.
That's right.
There it is. You're talking about, the preacher said there's some things I don't understand, and I'm still learning. I am too.
Amen.
I can't fathom that.
That's right.
Only by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I believe it.
Amen.
Brethren, and I trust God. And so we see that God gave His Son for the people, and He gave Him as a sacrifice for their sins. We've heard that. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, Galatians 1:4. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2. And verse 14. So there's two things. God gave a people to His Son, and God gave His Son for a people. But the third thing, and we're talking about the greatest gift of all, is that God gives His people all things. Everything we receive comes from God. Now immediately, here's what we start thinking about. We start thinking about all the temple things that we have. And I told the church where I am, you know, I teach stewardship. And if anybody's going to teach my church how they ought to treat me, it's going to be me. I mean, I'm going to tell them. I mean, I'm going to preach to them. That's as much my responsibility. Preach to them the Word of God that they're to provide for the pastor and take care of him. And I'm not going to have somebody else in to do my work for me. I'm not going to do it. I believe that's part of that anointing for the Lord that Brother Smith was talking about there. And I said to them, I said, I believe and I know that even regardless as to what the church does, as supplying pastor, I said, God's good to me. And many times when you don't supply my need, He still does. Now I know it's their responsibility, it's their duty, it's their privilege to do so. But even when He don't, untold measures of God's blessings are poured out upon me and every other man of God. From resources that we don't even know that exist. Many times, and God does it. God takes care of His men. Now, we rejoice in those temporal things. God lets me drive a good car. And I'm thankful for that. The Lord gave it to me. Lord gave me all those things. And I praise the Lord for it. But brethren, I want us to think about, you know, not just temporal things, but I want us to think about spiritual things. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And that includes it all. John 3:27. But then James said this very same thing in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now what are some of the things that God gives His people? First thing He gives them is repentance.
Amen.
Where's repentance gone to in our churches today, preaching?
Amen.
Where's that? You know what Olmsted Baptist Church needs? It needs to repent.
Amen, brother.
You know a Baptist church around don't need to repent? Come on, brethren.
Amen.
Do you? That's right, exactly. And that's the problem today in our churches. We have people that won't repent. Repentance is a way of life.
Amen.
For those that are saved. Amen. It's not something you do one time when you get saved.
Amen.
It's a daily thing
Amen.
You do. It's a way of life. It's a practice of life.
Amen.
That's what it is. But on the spiritual aspect, we receive repentance. Listen to what he said in Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. If you ever have any repentance, God's going to give it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. It comes from God. But not only does God give us repentance, but God gives us faith. That is His people faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God gives it. Not only does He give that repentance and faith, but we know that He gives that ability to even come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He went right on to 6th chapter, verse 65. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Brethren, that is, God gives his people all things. But you know, that's not all. I fully understand. I thought about the messages that Brother Connor preached. I told him, I said, and I'd like to, I said, us younger preachers need that kind of preaching.
Yeah, true. We do,
and we do, brethren. We do. That's an encouragement to me. When men that I see that have stood for the truth through the years and have never wavered, and they talk about that, I know, brethren, they're not only talking because they know it's true from the Word of God, but they know it's true from experience. It's been a practical thing in their life.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
You can sympathize with people that have gone through the same thing and have been doing the same thing, and they can sympathize with you. So we see that he not only has given us repentance and faith and the ability to come to Christ, but he's given us an everlasting consolation. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, he said, and hath given us an everlasting consolation or an everlasting comfort. But not only he's done that, but he's given us peace.
Amen.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. I'll tell you what, as I grow in the Lord and as the Lord enables me by his grace, seems like that now, and I'm not saying that I've reached maturity. I've not. I'm like Brother Duval. I'm learning.
Yes,
brethren, you pastor churches and you'll learn. I tell you what. Each church is a learning experience that God gives you. It's not only a learning experience, it's a growing experience. It really is. It's a blessing now. Don't get me wrong. It's a blessing for all these things. As he said, there's the power of the blessing and there's the power of wrath or the judgment that comes. But I believe that we see here that in through this, that even though all of these things come, still God gives his children peace.
Amen.
In the time of trouble, in the time of turmoil.
Amen.
Ask these preachers that's gone through this affliction, has been run off from their churches and different things that are here, and they'll tell you where the peace comes from is from God.
Comes
to them. But then he gives to us also the earnest of the Spirit that is to his children. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. Listen to what he said in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm thankful, brethren. You know, sometimes we talk about how low we get and how despondent we get, but we never lose this. We never lose the earnest of the Spirit. We never get to where that we can't cry, Abba, Father. And we can't cry out to him. For what he said in 2 Corinthians, and therein chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, and in verse 22 of that first chapter, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That is, God has given this to his people. But then he's given us, and I won't enlarge on this, for this has already been enlarged on, he has given us great and precious promises. Brother Sinek went over that. But not only that, but he's given us a reserved inheritance. There's an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. So now in conclusion, let's sum this up. Now let's think about the greatest gift of all. You know, I remember back as a child that I like to receive gifts. I've never seen a child yet don't like to receive gifts. Have you? I can remember one time getting a little fire truck, a little red fire truck. That's been a long time ago, folks. Little red fire. I remember one time getting a little pony. Turned out to be a perching horse. Yeah, he was starved, you know. I remember all these things. And I remember how I rejoiced. I remember all of these. And I remember how it bubbled over with joy. But I'll tell you, the greatest gift of all is when God saved my soul.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I didn't know what true rejoicing was till the Lord sought me out and found me. I wasn't on the streets of Detroit, or I wasn't in the streets of Michigan, but I was way back in the holler.
Amen.
Or I wasn't a holler.
swinging on a grapevine.
That's where I was, but it didn't make any difference. God still found me back over there. Got hollering. My aunt used to come visit, said, Roscoe, that's my dad, said, you ought to put bells on these children. They'll lose. You lose them back here.
That's what you say.
Dad gets mad at her, and he had a right to. And he gets so mad at her. Yeah, live back in the sticks where we live. But praise be unto God. The greatest gift that I ever found or ever received was the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And I've not got over it, and I never will. Now, in other words, what I've said tonight is God gave a people to Christ. Hallelujah. But God gave Christ for a people. And then God gives these people all things. In other words, what I'm saying, the greatest gift of all is the gift of God. And it's all because of this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.